Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. Our learning this evening is sponsored by Zeichel Nishmas, Velva Wolf Zeb, and on Dr. Zeb Zelenko. If you're interested in sponsoring, please call the Share Enjoyment team at 917-626-8306 or visit shareenjoyment.com. Additionally, all of my learning is Zeichel Nishmas, Rabbi Mori Moshe David, and Rabbi Isaac, Rabbi Moshe David Tenler. So this week's Parsha, as we know, is a special Parsha. It's Parsha Vayakob B'Kudei, it's a double Parsha, as well as Parsha Zachodesh. It's the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is called Shabbos HaChodesh. And so there's in addition to the double Parsha that we already have of Vayakob and B'Kudei, there's an additional leaning from a second Sefer Torah on Shabbos that speaks about Rosh Chodesh to an extent and getting ready for Pesach. It's an important time. And as I mentioned just last week, it's hard to believe Pesach is coming up sooner than we want to think about. But that's not what I'm going to focus on. I actually want to focus on Parshas Vayakel, really just one pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. And there's a lot we could speak about in all of these areas. But the one thing I want to speak about this evening, actually is a little bit longer of a midrash this evening, but we take a look at Perek Lamed Zayin, pasuk Aleph. It speaks about, we'll read the pasuk. The context is about the construction of the Mishkan and the Kelim of the Mishkan. So the pasuk says, "Ve'yas betzal es ha'ara natse shitim, amasayim v'chetzi arkov, amasayim v'chetzi rachbay, amasayim komasa." The pasuk says, "The betzal made the Yiryan Kodesh of pine wood." Again, atse shitim, some translate as pine, so we're going to say pine wood. Or we could really just say atse shitim. 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. And so Rashi in the pasuk, the very first Rashi in the pasuk says, "V'yas Betzalel," that Betzalel made because he devoted himself to the work more than the other wise men, as that's why it's mentioned under his name. It's based off of the Midrash and the Chumah. So that is only his name is stated as having carried out the construction. And the question arises, however, why specifically with regard to the Aron Kodesh is his name mentioned alone? The Masbul David answers that it's because the Aron Kodesh was the most Kodesh of all, the most holy of all the different Kelim, all the vessels. The Be'er Basada answers that this was specifically through the making of the Aron Kodesh that we see Betzalel's deep devotion to his work. The Gemara Maseches Brachos stuff, Lamed Hey, not Lamed Hey, sorry, Nun Hey Ahmed Aleph, quoted by Rashi, that later on that we're not going to get to, but it's in Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Chaf Beis, further on in the Parsha, says that the Moshe originally commanded Bezalel to first make the Aron Kodesh and the other Kalim, and then to construct the actual structure of the Mishkan. So Bezalel, however, asked about the order of this, doesn't make any sense, suggested that the outer construction of the Mishkan should be made first, and then the Kelim, to which Moshe Rabbeinu agreed, saying that this was actually Hashem's will. So therefore, Betzalel's deep devotion to his work is highlighted through the making of the Aron Kodesh, where it enabled him to understand the will of Hashem in this context. Okay, so that's the Rashi on the pasuk. And then, that's kind of what we're going to be focusing on in the Midrash Rabbah. So, delving right in, it says, "Vayat Betzalel," and Betzalel made the Aron Kodesh. "V'chi Betzalel ase l'atzmo." Now, did Betzalel really make all the Kelim of the Mishkan and the by himself? In fact, Betzalel didn't even construct the Aron Kodesh all by himself, as the Midrash says elsewhere. So shebechol davar v'davar hu omer v'yach Betzalel, but it's implied that when the pasuk says that regarding each and every item, that he, that is Betzalel, made them. So Betzalel, even though he's mentioned by name all with regard to the Aron Kodesh in our pasuk, the singular pronoun he regarding almost every one of the Kalim, everything regarded to the construction of the Mishkan, refers to Betzalel. That's according to Yifat Torah and the Eitz Yosef, also Mahar Tzu. So, but it cannot be that Betzalel constructed everything all by himself, as the Torah states explicitly that he was assisted by Eliyahu and every wise-hearted individual, everyone is hired men. Ella al shenafsa nafsho alav b'yoyser. Rather, because Vitalo put his soul, as the Midrash Tanchuma mentions as well, that he put his soul into the construction of the Mishkan in an exceedingly great way. So working with selfless devotion. Lo kipach HaKadosh Baruch Hu scharo. And Hashem didn't hold back any reward from him. And so the pasuk publicized him regarding each and every item. So attributing the construction of the item to Bezalel, even though there were others who had been involved in the building of the construction. If Atarin Eitz Yosef interprets this phrase as meaning that Hashem didn't withhold any of Bezalel's rewards for his efforts in the Olam Haba, the world to come, despite his having been paid in Olam Hazeh by having the Torah publicly acknowledge his role in the construction of the Mishkan and the various Kelim. So the Midrash cites another example in which the scripture, at this time it's in Ezra, publicized the most devoted participants in a worthwhile project. So it says, "Kiyose b'davar ata omer." In a similar fashion, he says the pasuk, "Ach Yenison ben Yashahel v'Chazia ben Tikva amdu al zeis mishulum sharsi halevi." Ezra. So, but Yonasan, son of Ashiel, and Yechaziah, son of Tikva, stood for this, and Meshulam and Shabtai Halevi aided them. This is again from Sefer Ezra, it's a Perek Tesim, Perek Yud rather. I don't know why I'm getting my notations wrong right now, but it's Sefer Ezra, it's Perek Yud Pasuk Tesvav. So that is Yonasan, son of Ashiel, and Yechaziah ben Tikva stood in support of Ezra's initiative that those who had married non-Jewish women should divorce them. This understanding of the pasuk that Yonasan and Yechaziah support Ezra is followed by Mesubis David. However, where Rashi says that they stood opposite Ezra. Okay, anyway. Ela Yonasan nasan nasho ala davar harbe. Now, as the pasuk says, Meshulam and Shabtai were also involved, but Yonasan has put his soul, his neshama, into the matter exceedingly, as in Yechaziah. The Matnas Kahuna, Eitz Yosef, however, that the Midrash specifies Yonasan since he's the first of the two to be listed in the pasuk. Okay. Midrash continues. O Alufi Shabao Vesiyuhu, and because Meshulam and Shabtai came and assisted him, Ha'ela aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu asu heim hamaisa. Hashem is considered as if they had carried out the deed themselves. That is, that the pasuk credits their role in the campaign. That's based on the Mahar Tzu. Aval Yonasan al yedei shenasan nafshay b'davar persomu hakasu. But since Yonasan put his soul into the matter, as Yechaziah, so he specifically is publicized in the pasuk and Yechaziah. So listing them as having acted on behalf of Ezra's initiative, while Meshulam and Shabtai were relegated to supportive roles. So the Yifatayar notes that there were others that the Torah, or the Tanakh, doesn't name, who also assisted in carrying out Ezra's campaign against intermarriage. He suggests that the connotation of the Midrash is that Meshulam and Shabtai are mentioned in the pasuk because they also exhibited great devotion on behalf of Ezra's efforts, but the Yonasan and Yechaziah acted with an even greater devotion, and therefore the pasuk gives them primacy or a bigger role. And so the Midrash concludes its discussion in the fashion of the construction of the Mishkan and its Kelim with an account of the reward that Yisrael received for this great and holy endeavor. In keeping with the practice, the Midrash to conclude a section with reassuring words, a promise regarding the Yemos Mashiach, the coming, the time of Mashiach, and the future. So it says in the Midrash, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to the Bnei Yisrael, Ahisim Yirios Izim, you've made the curtains of goat hair and the tent covering the Mishkan, Ani magin alehem la'olim haba v'anam. And I will therefore shelter you with the cloud of glory in the world to come, in olim haba, that corresponding to the curtains of the goat hair that sheltered the Mishkan. That's according to the Eshet HaNechalim. Shedemar uvara Hashem al kol machon har atzion v'al mikre'e anan yoma. And the pasuk says, Hashem will create over every structure of Har Tzion and over every those who assemble in its cloud by day and smoking in the glow of flaming fire by night. For this will be a canopy over the honor and it will be a shelter as a shade from the heat of the day. This is Sefer Yishayim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav. That referring to the burning heat of the divine Hashem's wrath in the final day of judgment. Asisim kaporis, you have made a kaporis, a cover for the Aron Kodesh. Ani mechaper lachem avnoseichem, I will provide an atonement, a mechaper for all of your avers, all your sins. As noted previously, the Hebrew word of, not that we didn't mention, but that the Midrash notes previously, I should mention, that the word kaporis is similar to the word kaper, which is meaning to atone, mechaper, that is at the time of the Geula Shleima, the Geula seat of the future redemption, Hashem will forgive the Averis of the B'nai Yisrael. Alternatively, the Midrash is alluding to the Kapara ritual performed by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he would sprinkle the blood of the goat and the bull chatas offerings, the korbanos, toward the kaporis of the Aron Kodesh. Okay, asisim shulchan, you have made the shulchan, the table upon which you set the lechem upon the showbread. Ani matzil eschem min ha'arukha, so I will save you from the pyre that has been set in Gehenna. So here the pasuk describes Gehenna as having been prepared in advance, ready to receive the wicked. Ki aruch mitamu taftes, for Gehenna has been set aruch from yesterday. This is again say for Yeshaya. Here we're talking Perek Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So too, with regard to the Shulchan, it says the Hiresi es a Shulchan the Arachta es Arko. You shall bring the Shulchan, prepare its setting. This we see later on in Sefer Shmos that Perek Mem Pasuk Dalid regarding the Lechem upon them. It's also fitting that the merit of the Shulchan will earn the Bnei Yisrael salvation from Gehenna. And so further, I shall set the table before you in the future messianic time to come, the Yemos Mashiach, as it says, Taruch Lifnei Ashulchan Neged Zeturai. This is for Pasuk and Sefer Tehillim, that's Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Hey. You will set a table before me in view of my tormentors. I see some of my menorah. You have made a menorah for me. Ani meir lachem shivasayim ba'ilim haba. So I will illuminate for you sevenfold in the ba'ilim haba, in the world to come. Shenemar v'haya or halavana ke'or achama ve'or achama yihye shivasayim. The pasuk says the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times as strong. This is corresponding to the seven lamps in the menorah. Asisim lifanai aron shatira and nitenes b'seichel. You have made an aron kodesh before me in which the Torah is to be placed hidden from view. Etim lechem schar tov she'in boi hefsek, and I will give you a hidden good reward without end. Shenimar ma rav tucha asher safata liriecha, and as the pasuk in Tehillim says, how abundant is your goodness that you have secreted away those who fear you. Again, this is Sefer Tehillim Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chaf. That the reward is hidden in this world and Olim Hazeh, therefore corresponding to the Torah that's hidden inside the Aron Kodesh. That's according to the Yisrael. The word Rav, abundant, implies that the good reward is endless, and without and like, so too the Torah is without end, as indicated by the pasuk Arucha Me'eretz Mida Marucha Maniyam, that the measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea, as we see for pasuk and say for Eov Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Tes. Now that's where the Midrash ends, but I wanted to go back to idea of publicizing philanthropy that we saw a little bit earlier with regard to attributing the construction of the Mishkan as Kelim to Bezalel. That the little note here from the Akut Yehuda on the Pasuk says, cites Midrash as proof to the Rashba's view that someone who makes a significant donation to a shul, to a Beit Midrash, may insist that his name be inscribed on a wall or a plaque to commemorate the gift to the community. The Midrash says that the pasuk attributes Bezalel to the construction of the Aron Kodesh, as well as the rest of the kelim of the Mishkan, in order to publicize Bezalel's selfless devotion and all talent and energy to their construction. But the Rashba himself brings various proofs, arguing that this practice is an ancient one, an ancient custom. In many places, the Tanakh openly praises those who perform many meritorious deeds. For example, Torah praises Reuven for having saved Yosef from Misa by the hands of his brothers, as it says in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Lamed Zayin. The Yishma Reuven v'yaslilehu miyadam. Reuven heard and rescued Yosef from their hand. So surely the Rashba argues that we should emulate the ways of Torah, whose ways are perfect and pleasing. So further, the Midrash in Midrash Rus Rabbah says that this pasuk comes to teach that a person who does a good deed, does a mitzvah, should do it with a whole heart. For if Reuven had known that Hashem would write the Torah and that he saved Yosef from Misa at the hands of his brothers, he would have carried Yosef on his shoulders to his father. After citing these kinds of examples, the Midrash there concludes that in the olden days, when someone performed the mitzvah wholeheartedly, that the Nevi'im would publicly record it in Sefer Tanakh. Nowadays, Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach inscribe the mitzvah that's done performed in a special sefer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu places his seal on it. So, which will, Mirat Hashem, be able to see speedily in the coming Mashiach, may that be speedily in our days. So from here, as well as other sources, the Rashba concludes that the accepted practice is to publicize the names for those who perform great deeds, so they should be remembered and to inspire others to follow in their example. There is, however, there are some issues regarding this opinion that require a little clarification. The Ramah in the Yeridaya, who adopts the Rashba's ruling, proceeds with another ruling that says that someone who gives tzedakah in order to glorify themselves is a negative thing. He adds that someone who does glorify himself with his tzedakah not only forfeits the reward of the mitzvah, but will even be punished for boasting. So how can we reconcile these two seemingly conflicting statements? To answer this contradiction, Rav Moshe Sternbach, in his Tshuvos of the Hanhagos, makes the following distinction. He says that the tzedakah that is given to an individual, we must avoid being honored for it, and as it would embarrass the person who receives it. But when tzedakah is given to the community, such as for the construction of a shul, to a Beis Midrash, to a mikveh, you could accept the kibbutzim for it, and this will not put a shame to anyone. And indeed, it's appropriate to accept the kavod in order to allow the community to express their gratitude and to encourage others, including own offspring, to follow by the example. Of course, this still has a further difficulty. We find that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid castigates someone who makes a donation to the community in order to be remembered. He writes in Sefer Chassidim that whoever performs Maisim Tovim in order to be remembered will in fact not be remembered. And he corroborates this by relating an incident involving a man who wanted to build a magnificent shul for the community. And many members, others in the community, wanted to share this mitzvah, but this man turned them all away, and he wanted to do the mitzvah all by himself so that it would serve as an eternal memorial for him and for his children. In the end, the man left. They didn't have any descendants. He didn't have any offspring. So we must we say that the Sefer HaChassidim and the Rashba disagree. Piskei Tshuva, citing the Parshas Mordechai and the Mishnas Yosef and Orach Chaim, suggests that there is in fact no disagreement in this matter between the Sefer HaChassidim and the Rashba, but rather they are discussing completely different situations. Sefer HaChassidim refers to a case in which the entire community wanted to share the mitzvah, but the donor didn't prevented them from contributing, since he wanted the mitzvah and all of the intended glory all for himself. The Rashba, on the other hand, discusses a case where the community does not object to there being a single benefactor. To the contrary, they're happy to be the beneficiary of his generous donation, as he's the only one who's capable of making a donation of this sum. Indeed, the case about which the Rashba issued his ruling, the donor who lived near adjacent to the shul gave his property to the community so that the shul could be extended. In such a case, it's proper to publicize his actions so as to encourage others to make donations. Another difficulty, however, is that seeking publicity for Maisim Tovim seems to contradict an ideal in the Torah of concealing your own Maisim Tovim, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Micha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches. He has told you, O man, what is good, does Hashem require of you, but to walk humbly with Hashem. The Gemara Masechta Sukha, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, and Masechta Makos, Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, derives from here that when you give tzedakah, which you should do a lot, to do it discreetly and without fanfare, without publicity. Zivri Malkiel, in his introduction, addresses this problem and identifies an underlying reason for the Rashba's ruling. So, a tzaddik, despite having performed many mitzvahs in the course of his lifetime, for which he has earned the Olam Haba, can be reluctant to leave this world, since Mises deprives him of other opportunities to perform Maisim Tovim. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Dalid, or Perek Dalid rather, Mishnah Tes Yud Zayin says, Yafesh Shah Achas Betshuva or Maisim Tovim Olam Hazem Mikol Chai Olam Haba. That one moment spent in doing tshuva and Maisim Tovim in this world is better than an entire lifetime in Olam Haba. So the tzaddik therefore wants to seek a way through which he can accrue extra mitzvahs even after physically passing away. So he commits the resources to building something of a mitzvah value that will survive him and publicly commemorate the contribution so that others will be inspired to follow in their example with such types of enduring projects that will long outlive them. And in this way, a person ensures that his donation will continue to produce great spiritual dividends long after he's left the physical world. Divrei Malkiel therefore concludes that the regular mitzvahs in which every one of us is obligated and we must perform certainly should be performed in a modest fashion, b'derech tznua, since there's no spiritual advantage to publicizing them. But when you exert yourself to do something extraordinary and feel sincerely that this example will encourage others to follow in your ways, then it's highly appropriate to publicize this action so as to produce the rich spiritual dividends that will ensue. So again, there's a lot that can be discussed about this idea. I just wanted to bring it out to understand that there are times, of course, when we want to publicize doing a mitzvah, Again, with the proper intentions, and of course, other times when it's more proper to do things b'derech tznua in a private manner. And we learn all of this from our pasuk, again, Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Aleph, in our parsha this week. That just as Bezalel was mentioned as being the one who is credited with the construction of the Mishkan, and we know that it was Bezalel. He gets credit for it, even though he wasn't the only one to do it. He didn't do it all by himself. He had other people who worked with him. We are eternally remembering that he is the one who was the architect, so to speak, the foreman, the one who gets the credit for the construction of the Mishkan and the Kelim. And this is something we want to emulate. When we end up to do something with our whole hearts and go above and beyond in such a manner, that's really a great, important way, then we should want to be remembered, not for ourselves, but for the fact that it will emir Hashem lead others to follow in our footsteps, as we lead by example. I do think, however, it's important to keep this nuance in mind that I just mentioned here, regarding the whole discussion, the Rashba and the Sefer Chassidim, etc. That it's important to remember, even when you want to publicize your name because you've done something that you feel is worthy of putting your name to, and there, again, there appears to be a long-standing tradition of doing this, that it shouldn't be for your own benefit. And in practical terms, it may not make a big difference, but as far as your machshava, your mindset goes, it's important to have the right intentions about everything all the time, but I think especially when you're going to try to put your name on something, that whether it's or your name or naming in memory or honor of somebody else, that you want to make sure that the kavana is in the right place. It's not because you seek the kavod for yourself, not because you seek the kavod for other people, but because you want to cause other people to see what you're doing and emulate the positives that you're doing. And by doing so, it encourages others to follow your footsteps, which will then encourage others to follow their footsteps, so on and so forth, until everyone we find is going to be doing all the mitzvahs they can to the best of their abilities, and Hashem will ultimately fulfill His promise of Argu'u L'Shleimah, the Hira V'Yameinu. I wish everyone a good Shabbos, as I get benched.